From a civilian perspective, people in Gaza are primarily concerned with survival, safety, gaining their dignity, and rebuilding their lives. After such a devastating period, many families are focused on immediate needs like access to food, medicine, water, shelter, protection for their children, and the possibility of living without constant fear of bombardment, of course. At the same time, there is a deep sense of exhaustion and uncertainty. Civilians want an end to violence, but they also want guarantees that any ceasefire will be meaningful and lasting. For many Palestinians, the fear is not only about the current war, but about what comes after it, whether Gaza will be protected, whether reconstruction will be possible, and whether people will have a political future that respects their rights and dignity. So I would say that the mood is a mixture of a relief at any serious attempts to stop the bloodshed, but also anxiety about whether the proposed arrangements will actually protect civil term.
Well, I would be very careful about the word surrender because, from a civilian perspective, the issue is less about military language and more about guarantees, about the protection of the people, about trust in whoever is going to govern Gaza afterwards. Many Palestinians would be deeply concerned about any proposal that asks one side to give up all forms of leverages before there are clear, enforceable protection on the ground. That does not mean civilians want endless militarization. Most people in Gaza want normal life. They want to have safe homes, safe streets, education to their children, health care in good hospitals, to be able to have work, to reconstruct their homes, to be free from repeated cycles of violence. But normal life requires a more than a disarmament. It requires a credible political framework for civilians and to have accountability for whoever is going to govern Gaza and assurance that Gaza will not remain vulnerable to renewed escalation. Regarding tunnel maps, weapons, inventories, or any sensitive security information, such matters cannot be treated in isolation. They would need to be handled through a trusted, internationally monitored, and politically balanced process. If the process is perceived as serving the security priorities of one side over the other, while leaving Palestinian civilians a protection uncertain, then it will be very difficult for many Palestinians to accept or trust it.
Well, I think any mediator or international representative is, in this context, of course, carries a very difficult responsibility. At the same time, they have their own agenda by whoever they are affiliated with. Their legitimacy depends on being seen as balanced, consistent, and attentive to the obligations and fears of all sides, especially civilians. But from a Palestinian perspective, the concern is understandable. If the process appears to focus mainly on Palestinian compliance while other essential issues remain vague, such as Israeli withdrawal, civilian protection and reconstruction of Gaza, and the accountability of the occupation towards Gaza, and the credible political horizon, then many Palestinians will question whether the mediation is balanced. I would not reduce the issue to a personal judgment about one individual. The more important question is whether the framework itself is balanced and enforceable.